Welcome into the SEC pub.
Welcome in. It's another week of college football, so it's another week in the SEC pub. I'm your host, Dale. With me today, we got Nick from Roll Coverage. What's up, Nick?
It's going good, man. There's a bunch of good college football this weekend. You excited?
Yes, man. Yes, always excited for the college football slate, man. It's going to be a good weekend for sure. Yeah. Before we get into this weekend, let's kind of revisit last weekend. Give me your best and worst of the weekend.
Okay, best. The best game is going to be the one that everyone's going to go to. It's going to be Oregon-Washington. It was the deciding factor of who's going to win the Heisman at this point. I think Penix and Bo Nix are 1-2, and Caleb Williams played himself into 3, which plays himself into my worst.
Okay.
The worst was Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams played like trash and then came out saying like, oh man, wolves don't mind the thoughts of sheep or some BS. And then also wants to be like, oh, the people that draft me, you need to give me a stake in the team after this performance. Like,
right. Right. I heard about that.
Caleb Williams is, and I'm going to use this because I'm a Duke fan. He's the Christian Laettner right now. He's going to do real good in college, but when he gets in there, I mean, right now he's acting like a Daniel Jones. So, what a display by him.
Yeah, he 199 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions versus Notre Dame. So,
If that's the case, dude, my Duke team might be able to beat them because we had Notre Dame down by 7. Like, y'all lost by what, 28?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought this was going to be, a muddy game. I didn't realize Notre Dame had turf. So
they had fun, man.
Yeah.
They had Rudy out there or something, but.
But I knew the weather wasn't going to be that great. It was going to be cold. And you get those West Coast boys coming up there playing that cold, you know.
Yep.
It'll be something
they
else.
Can't handle it. And that's what I think is going to be something, going to be a narrative moving forwards is, can he do it at the highest level? Everyone's comparing him to Patrick Mahomes already. It's like, no offense, Patrick Mahomes isn't going to lose that bad to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's just what it is.
Yep. Hey, want to say hello to my son who's chiming in watching the podcast. I appreciate you watching my podcast, son. So, all right. Let me give you my best and worst then.
Yeah.
So the best of the weekend for me is LSU taking care of business, beating up on Auburn 48-18. I'm so proud of my defense because they held the SEC opponent to less than 20 points. For the second time this season.
I was about to say, it hasn't been on a consistent basis. They did it.
They did it. When they do something good, I have to praise them because the defense is bad. So
yep.
I appreciate that. They did not let me down. We are the king of the Tigers. Missouri, Auburn, y'all can suck it. Okay?
Yeah.
The worst of the weekend also has to do with LSU. Andre Evans, a 4-star cornerback from Nashville, Tennessee. He was committed to LSU since about June or so, but he took a visit to Athens, Georgia, and now he's committed to the Bulldogs.
Boy, that's a tough one.
Not only do you lose a commit, but they flip to an SEC rival, and that's correct. The worst. And not only a rival, it's freaking Georgia. Like, if he flips to Ole Miss or somebody, you know, it hurts, but it's still one of those, you know, lower tier teams in the SEC.
These recruits, though, this year mattered. This year and how they've been getting going is going to lose them some recruits. So it's going to be next year. How does LSU go and get some more of those recruits? Because if he ends up being a 4-star over at Georgia, they probably got a few 5-stars. So he might be sitting on the bench. He might NIL his butt up out of there. So it could be nothing right now. But yeah, you're right. Losing it to a in-conference opponent is pretty much like the worst case scenario.
Yeah, we lost our tight end, Eric Gilbert, to Georgia. This was after we start a year after the COVID year, right?
Okay.
So he transfers over to Georgia and then he does not play. I think he transferred to like Nebraska, and he got caught like robbing a store or some stuff like that. So oh, yeah, snap. It's bad for him. That this guy had all the potential in the world. He had the world given to him at LSU. He gave it all up. So
wow, well, it's like the Chandler Jones situation in the NFL now. Like he's kind of playing himself out of the NFL. You see these guys like their off the field stuff is going to affect everything else moving forwards.
Yeah, I kind of wonder though if it's more to do with that story, because I heard some stuff like
but between his ears.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's to heard what I heard from the Raiders side, but then I heard from his side, like, you know, somebody molested by his niece or something like that.
Oh snap!
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's a sticky kind of situation that I'm not really sure about. So wow. He could be crazy. I don't know.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's get into this week, man. Week 8 in college football. So the first game that we've got up today is Florida State at Duke.
Oh no.
So I'm sorry, this is Duke at Florida State. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah,
this Duke is Duke at Florida State. Florida State is a 14.5 point favorite. The total for this game is 49.5. Duke has never beaten Florida State. They are 0-21 all time against Florida State.
We're a basketball school, man.
True.
I mean, we're basketball school.
Florida State has won 12 consecutive games dating back to last year. So this should be a good matchup because both of the teams are undefeated in the ACC. These are two of the best here. The main question for Duke will be if the starting quarterback, Riley Leonard, can suit up because he had an ankle injury a few weeks ago versus Notre Dame. Have you heard anything about him actually playing?
Not from what I've seen. Let me look it up right now, just in case. But I haven't heard anything. It says 2 days, 23. Nope, he's still questionable as of right now, unless there's been an update in the last little bit. He's the key to that game.
Right.
If Riley Leonard doesn't play, I would absolutely take FSU. Give him all the points. It doesn't matter. They're going to win. That offense is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, if Riley Leonard is out there healthy and everything like that, we brought Notre Dame to within 7. Like, we could have won that game. So I think that it's possible we could even win this game. If Riley Leonard plays, I'd take the points. I'd probably take the over too. I think it's going to be really interesting.
Okay.
I'm trying to see right now, just in case anybody else has updated. Nope. Everyone's still trying to find out if he's going to play. So probably not a great sign. So if you're a better, I'd probably take Florida State money.
Right.
It's pretty much a dub.
Yeah. But your defense has been looking pretty good. They've held teams to, you know, what 10 points a game for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Defense is playing well. Offense is, you know, getting some things done. But overall, this Florida State team is different. Florida State is getting ready to possibly compete for a natty. So I can't really pretend like Duke's there. I'll be happy if Duke gets there in my lifetime. So with that, again, I'm a basketball guy first, but I love football, always supported Duke. Even when they were winning, you know, a game or two, I'll take it. But I think it's just showing you that the NIL is truly changing things and those franchises are coming up. Like we're seeing with Ole Miss, Texas A&M and everything like that. They seem to fade away into obscurity. But now with this NIL, it's starting to spread out more of that talent. We're starting to get more. Duke might finally actually be able to win a football game against Florida State. It's just not this year. If it is, though, I'm coming on this podcast next week without a shirt on. Okay. I'll paint Duke right here. My family, my entire family, my sister Brooke, everybody graduated Florida State and everything. They're diehard from Florida and all. Yeah, I would never do that. In fact, I think that when shout out my mom actually said when Deion Sanders went to Colorado, she got all mad and she's like, I can't believe he would do that to Florida State. And I was like, Florida State didn't hire him.
Right.
So no offense. I hope he goes to Florida and shoves it up y'all one day. But hey, right now, Florida State's, yeah, at the height of their powers. As long as their quarterback is healthy, this is an easy dub. If Leonard plays and for some reason their quarterback isn't able to finish the game, we have a chance. But I wouldn't bet a single penny on Duke unless it's plus 21 and a half or something crazy. So, yeah.
Man, I'm kind of looking at this total because both of your defenses have been pretty good.
Yep.
Let's see. Like Florida State, they were like top 20 in points allowed and Red Zone scoring percentage as well. So I don't know. The only game that they kind of struggled was in against BC, where they gave up almost 100 yards to their quarterback. Yep. But
I think it's going to be an interesting one. But the problem is, it's going to be the offensive firepower. Florida mm-hmm. State can throw up 30 points in no time. It's going to be, can Duke get there? I think this game could end 50-0 in Florida State's favor and just creak over that. So it could mm-hmm. go both ways. Again, it's going to really depend on as well the conditions and everything like that. But it, yeah. from what it looks like, it's going to be a pretty decent game. And again, it's going to be Duke quarterback playing or not. And if it is, Florida State all the way.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, from Florida State, I really like that receiver, Keon Coleman.
Oh, dude.
Big dude. Yes. This is another one that hurt because he's from Louisiana. Unless you offered him out the portal to come, he took the offer from FSU. Maybe it was more money. We lose a lot of those portal battles, man.
Yeah.
For LSU. So yeah, we are not funded like that, like we should be.
I don't disagree with that, but that's going to change here soon. I'm telling you, LSU is going to take a slump year this year, a little bit next year, but then the following year, LSU is going to be back on top watch.
Well, it's NIL money, right? And so with LSU, Louisiana itself isn't a rich state. So the problem ends up being you're shaking the same alumni for money and every time you want to do something. And eventually, you know, you're going to stop giving money, you know, because mm-hmm. I already gave $2 million. I can't buy another kid, you know.
I agree with that. But I think that's just the point now where we need to figure out that is Brian Kelly really the coach of the future? Because that's what I think it is. I think it's at the point now where it's like my Panthers in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give my GM more assets because he's shown that he doesn't know what to do with them. So yeah. I think if you guys the one that I wish you guys would have gotten was Lincoln Riley, brought him down to LSU. I mean, especially with what Burrow did with that roster, you know, years ago. I mean, if you were to put another one of those rosters together, LSU would be unstoppable with a great offensive coach. I just think that this is the weird time of like, are we committing long-term to Brian Kelly by investing all of this stuff in the school and all this other stuff? Or are we looking towards maybe saving that money, buying him out and getting a better coach in there and then seeing what he can do? I think it could be some interesting ones. There's some talk of some professional coaches going to college. One that I saw floated, and if it happens, I think it would be absolutely bonkers, is that Bill Belichick decides, man, I'm just going to go play a few years. I'm going to go coach a few years in college football after the Patriots fire me. So let's go see what happens. And I guarantee kids would flood to that man. Flood.
That's a hell of a rumor there, Nick.
There's some crazy ideas out there. That's one of the craziest.
Yeah.
Man, would it be cool.
Yeah, for real. All right, so if I'm picking this game here, I'm probably going to lean toward the FSU side. I hate giving up almost 15 points though.
Yep.
But yeah, with the uncertain quarterback situation at Duke, I'm going to roll with him. And again, I like Keon Coleman. Really hope to see him on my Saints team in the future too. So
on my Panthers team, I'll take him. He looks great.
Yep. All right, the next game, we've got Tennessee going to Alabama. Alabama's 8.5-point favorite. Total for this game is 48. Saban has lost only twice to the Vols in his career. And the way I'm seeing this game, I think it's a critical game for both teams because they're trying to secure their division. And this is... You got to win this game to stay on top of your division there. So, on the Tennessee side, Milton, he ranks last among SEC quarterbacks in completions that gain 20 plus yards or more. We talked about Milton a few weeks ago. And we talked about his inconsistencies with the long ball. I'm seeing it more with the long ball, but also some intermediate stuff. And I'm kind of looking at this game thinking both teams maybe kind of marry each other in the fact that it's question marks at quarterback. They kind of want to, you know, play it safe, play some defense, and run the ball a little bit. How do you see this game playing out between Tennessee and Alabama?
So it's funny you actually say that they compare, because I'm literally looking at the stats right now on ESPN and everything for this game. Okay. Yards passing for each team, 212.5 on average to Alabama's 219.4.
Yeah.
So they're literally separated by 7 yards.
Right.
Rushing is the big one. Alabama gets about 148, whereas Tennessee gets 231. But yards allowed, 300 for Tennessee, 292 for Alabama. Passing yards allowed are separated by 10, 197 to 198. And then their rushing yards are allowed are 105.2 versus 105.3. So they're literally perfectly matched up. But what that tells me is neither of these teams are good enough to make the playoffs. Milroe. Yeah, Milroe on the Alabama side.
Yeah.
He's not an NFL, you know, play at level caliber, I'm sorry, caliber player at this point.
Right.
Milton, you're right. Their best option is to hit them with the deep ball. That's what they did with Hyatt and Hooker. You know, that was an amazing tandem.
Right.
Alabama can't really defend against the long ball for the most part. They've got some decent ones, but that's really where they have the opportunity to win here. I don't see this being a crazy game. I see this being a low scoring affair.
Yes.
I'm not sure what the over under is. You just had it up a second ago, but I would take the under. Yeah. 48. I'd take the under.
Yeah.
I don't think either of these teams can really get the ball going. I think that Milroe's too inconsistent. Milton can't hit that deep ball. I didn't know he was last in the ACC or in the SEC. Because he's 10-4 and Milroe's 11-4 on touchdowns and interceptions.
Yeah.
But like their top players, top receiver for Tennessee only has 305 yards, whereas top receiver for Bama, 450 and four touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like there's a big disparity there. Still right. Alabama versus Tennessee. But I could absolutely see this going either way. I'd probably take the plus point. So I'd take Tennessee plus 8.5.
Yeah.
It's going to be way too close. The only way that Alabama wins this by more than 8.5 is if Tennessee literally just gives it up. Crazy interceptions, stupid plays, even the ball on the ground, whatever it may be.
Yeah, looking at the defense, is like they're both like up there in sacks in the SEC, like one and two pretty much. I'm sorry, 2 and 3 in sacks in the SEC. Bama is number two and Tennessee is number three. But looking at those players, like Dallas Turner, he's got 7 sacks on the year for Bama. James Pierce got 6 sacks on the year for Tennessee. I really see this being a defensive struggle. There's not going to be a lot of points there. And when there is offensive production, I believe it's going to come in the running game.
I agree.
And not the passing game. So
I agree. I think that they're both kind of anemic when in the passing game, even though they have half decent passing numbers, they haven't been playing the craziest of opponents. So I can't be like, oh man, you know, Alabama's really out here crushing Oregon and stuff like that. It's like, no, bro, they're beating like mid-level teams for the most part. I mean, they barely escaped USF.
Yeah.
So the idea that all of a sudden Alabama is unbeatable when they beat 117-3 is just crazy. So yeah, I think this is, We're starting to see the decline of Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And I think Milroe was the start of that.
So that kind of brings another point up about this game, because look, Alabama's been Big Brother for a long time. And Tennessee, they need to get a win, you know, over Alabama. This is not really a rivalry, even though they want to call it a rivalry.
It's for sure not. Tennessee hasn't been relevant since a Manning was there.
Right.
So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I loved Hooker and Hyatt there as well. They just weren't there long enough for me to like cachet into it. And yeah, I don't understand it, but I do agree that the NIL and everything is the reason for this. And Alabama's time at number one was that way. Georgia that way. Ohio State, Penn State, all those ones that were getting all these recruits was because they had the cachet and everything like that. And they were just big schools. They were always winning. Now that NIL spreads it all out, it's like, dude, there's probably going to be a time where Alabama is like a 4-loss team on a regular basis.
Ooh.
Like, I'm not saying this year, I'm not saying next year, but it's coming. just like everybody says, like the Packers and everything in the NFL, eventually right. your time will come to suck.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you've had it, you've been up there for so long that it's somebody else's time. And that might be Deion Sanders or Lincoln Riley's or somebody else's time, but it's somebody else's time.
Yeah. I hope so. Cause I'm so fond of Bama.
I am too. In the same vein, Ohio State's doing so well, and I'm not an Ohio State fan at all. Mm-hmm. I've actually physically, I'm going to knock on wood here. I've never stepped foot in the state of Ohio and have literally flown around the state because I didn't even want to be in their airspace. That's how much I didn't like Ohio State. You can ask my wife. My wife said if she got a full ride to Ohio State University, would I go? And I'd be like, I'd meet you at the border. Wave as you went by. Like, nah, mm-mm.
You sound like a Michigan fan or something, man.
I'm not even a Michigan fan. Listen, I support Michigan over Michigan State, but nah, I just don't. I've always hated that franchise. I don't know why. It's probably mostly Urban Meyer. I'm slowly starting to come around with Ryan Day. And yeah. That, but I think honestly, the best team in college football right now is Ohio State. I don't think it's even close. I don't even think Georgia can really hang with Ohio State at this point.
Oh. Okay.
So I think it's Ohio State's this year to lose because the way that USC played. God forbid you get a game in Ohio or anything like that, or in any cold atmosphere, like they're done. Like, it's finally time. Alabama's the first domino to fall. And I think we're going to see a lot more of them.
Mm. Okay. Well, we'll see here. I am going to bet. Well, if I was betting, but I'd probably go ahead and take Tennessee plus the points. I think it's going to be a closer game. Low scoring for sure. Definitely bet the under. Mm-hmm.
I don't think yes. there's any other way to go, man.
Right. All right, next game. We have Penn State going to Ohio State. Ohio State is a 4.5-point favorite. Total here is 45.5. Penn State has lost the last 6 games to Ohio State. But both of these teams, they are coming into this game with a good defense. This is another one of those big brother situations, especially for the fact that Penn State's been coming for years now, right?
Yep.
Are they finally here?
So close. They're so close.
Right.
I don't think they're there because their quarterback has no interceptions. Like, he's been playing a pretty clean year and everything like that. But Ohio State has the arguably best wide receiver talent that college football has seen ahead of time in a very long time. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be ridiculous. He's going to be the number one wide receiver. And if Caleb Williams wasn't out there, he'd be the number one pick. Mm. So I think that's going to be a big change. The one thing I would watch out for is Ohio State's defense has been lacking. Yards allowed on average for Penn State's 193.7, Ohio State 263.5. So a full 70 yards more almost. Actually, I'm sorry. It is a full 7 yards more. They're not giving up as much rush game. They're giving in the passing game. But the Penn State quarterback has no picks and 400 less yards than McCord. So it's not like he's not throwing the ball. I think this could be a real interesting one. I'd probably still take Ohio State, but I could absolutely see Penn State running away with this, literally.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. The way to beat Marvin Harrison Jr. and McCord is to keep his ass on the sidelines. It's just like Patrick Mahomes. It's just run the ball out. Dude's got 78 carries. So that the tap dude on the Ohio State for carries is 44 for 295 and 5 touchdowns. Kyle Allen for Penn State is 78 for 375 and 3 touchdowns. Okay. So he's got almost double the carries already. So I think that's going to play into it. Again, it's going to have to be a running bonanza, but Ohio State's going to have to throw it like crazy. So it's going to be, how can Penn State's secondary deal? How can Ohio State's run defense stop it?
So you remember Ohio State having some problems versus Notre Dame's defense.
Correct.
That's not the norm for Ohio State. Having trouble on offense. Like, you're never having trouble on offense.
But the difference is the reason why Penn State is as high as they are is they beat Mass 63-0. They beat Northwestern 41-13, Iowa 31-0, Illinois 30-13, and then they played Delaware and beat them 63-7. So it's not like they've been playing some crazy things. So all of this Penn State offense and everything that looks great could also be smoke and mirrors. Whereas Ohio State has played Illinois, I understand that. That's not the greatest. But Maryland, Notre Dame, Purdue, three solid teams that we always put up there. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know the quality opponent on the Penn State side.
Yeah.
I mean, is nobody, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's literally nobody that they've played that could fight them. So this is the first real test for Penn State. If Penn State can come in here and win, Penn State can actually contend for a title. Like I said, whoever could beat Ohio State is the ones that can contend. And if nobody can beat them, they're going to run away with it. Because I don't even think, I think Georgia's even having an issue this year.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So.
So with the defense coordinator for Penn State, I want to say it's Manny Diaz. Yeah. Yes. So this is a guy, as I've heard his name a million years in a row. It's probably like his million stop at a different team. But his defenses always have like that cachet of, you know, this is a top defense in the nation. And when I see that that Ohio State's offense struggled against Notre Dame, I mean, that does kind of lead me to believe they will struggle against Penn State. Now, I understand that Penn State hadn't played that kind of talent yet, but this is their first opportunity to.
Correct. So, yeah, it could also be showing the smoke and mirrors effect on Ohio State. Can Ohio State really hang? Is Marvin Harrison really truly that guy? I think he is. I'd trade my entire franchise for him. But, yeah. I could see it going either way. Like I said, it's going to be that defense of Penn State. And what is Ohio State going to be able to stop? Because Catron Allen from Penn State, if he ends up running all over everybody, it's mm-hmm. not going to matter. Like, dude ends up with 150 rush yards, Ohio State's going to lose. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's defense against defense. Who's going to show up? Kind of like your right. LSU game.
Yeah. 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 I feel you. I do see, Ohio State's running back, Travion Henderson, he's questionable to play in this game. Running games always go hand-in-hand with defense for me. Like you said, keep the quarterback on the sideline. And so him not playing could be, a big part of this game. But, we'll see for sure. But still, Ohio State is leading the Big Ten in passing yards. Even though this is a down year, they're still leading them in passing yards. So,
which is crazy. it's crazy. It's so interesting to see how so many franchises, or I'm going to call them franchises in this thing, schools, stay the same. Like, Ohio State's always been pretty pass heavy. Obviously, they had Ezekiel Elliott. They've had dudes that are great running backs, but they've always put out like some solid wide receivers. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of the thing. And then again, on the Penn State side, who do we have as a running back from Penn State?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the big NFL running back from Penn State in the NFL? Like, that's their thing, defense and running. So Ohio State needs to show up, because if they don't, again, that's, you're just giving Georgia the opportunity and showing them blood in the water. Cause right now Georgia's their definitive favorite until USC lost, of course. But it's just such a weird thing. Like, Alabama was so good at running, and now all of a sudden they suck at running. How is Ohio State and Penn State able to keep that going and everything? It's such an interesting thing. That DC, like you said, that's gonna play a major role in this.
Yeah, 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 for sure, man. If they don't do it this year, like, when will they do it? Because this is the down year for Ohio State. So at what point are you going to do it? Like, you got to do it now, bro.
You're right. Yeah, now is the time. Blood's in the water for a lot of these big teams. Somebody needs to bite them.
Yep. So, all right, if I'm picking this game, I'm going Ohio State. I don't trust Penn State, just like you said. Just the history of it. And it's what they do, man. They come in with all the hype. We're doing good. And then we play Ohio State, we play Michigan, and we go back to being irrelevant. That's exactly. That's what I see happening again. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like a good, really B-tier franchise that seems to do really well. But when they get in those big A-tier, top-tier, like, okay, Kirk Cousins. They're essentially Kirk Cousins. They show up. It's prime time. It's time to lose. Like, that's okay. They're close, though. That tells you how close they are. They're missing something. They just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, We'll see if this is going to be their year or if it's going to be next year, like usual. So, all right. Is there any other game that we didn't talk about that maybe you're interested in?
I mean, there's always the interesting ones. I'm actually finding myself wanting to watch more of the random ones. I actually saw a picture that at an FIU Panthers game versus somebody, they had 400 total people watching the game. Like in the stands, there was literally nobody in the stands. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start trying to watch more. I'm actually out here in Colorado for a little bit. So I'm going to probably try and see myself an Air Force game. Mm-hmm. I would have loved that to be this week. But that's going to be the one I'm watching this week is Air Force. They've been playing well. They're ranked. I think they've only lost one game so far. So yeah, I'm a big one on the military parlays whenever they go. Navy sucks this year. So take Air Force. It's going to be a blowout. Okay. But yeah, I'm always interested in those ones, the weird ones. I said one day, I'm going to get a call from somebody that's like, you want to come see Western Kentucky play, you know, Jacksonville State? Yeah, I do. Absolutely. Let's go. Like, it doesn't matter. It's football. I want to be out there to support everybody. So yeah, I'm going to try and watch some weird ones. I'm going to try and stay away from the big ones because my feed is going to blow up over all the big games. So.
Okay. I'm kind of looking at this Utah and USC game. I know Utah has a quarterback situation where he's injured.
Cam Rising.
Right. And so he may not play. If he doesn't play, that's a wrap for them.
Absolutely. But see, that's an interesting one because Utah still has to play Colorado. So he could end up not playing for this game, but be available for that game. And it's like such a weird thing. USC is not looking good.
Yeah. Yeah.
USC looks like Oklahoma with Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray.
Okay.
Same coach. He brought over the same idea.
Right.
Defense, man. There ain't no D.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you're right. So, and the other game, of course, is going to be LSU versus Army. They're coming to LSU. I saw LSU was painting the end zones, like camouflage, that kind of thing. So this is probably going to be the only opponent to come into Tiger Stadium and will actually get cheered. Coming into Tiger Stadium, so.
Hey, if you're taking the parlay, then take Air Force, take LSU, because Army ain't winning that game.
Don't.
You guys lose to Army, I swear, I'm getting on here next week, and I'm going, we're roasting. I'll bring marshmallows and everything. We're done.
Oh, it's going to be some major problems if we lose to Army, so.
hey, man, my dude could lose to Florida State. You guys can't lose to Army.
Yeah. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up here for us in the SEC Pub. Appreciate you for joining us, Nick. Remember to go and follow Nick on Twitter at Roll Coverage. He'll be talking all things sports, and we're going to be seeing some shows here from him soon. So
hell yeah, man! I just put out one about my tinfoil hat theory of T. Higgins and DeMar Hamlin. A little bit of a deep dive about that. Oh, if you're interested, go look at that one. That one's a real interesting one. It's a short too. It's only a minute long.
All right, like it. I like it. So we'll see you guys next week. We out.
Remember to follow us on social media at BSNBA Media. Also, smash the like button on YouTube and share with friends. I'm